Where are your roots? Have you got any roots?
Yes.
Where are your roots? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, School of the Master, and other good things here in Campo, California, with the question, where are your roots? Now, the answer to that from most of us is our roots are our family, our roots are our inheritance, our roots are what stock out of which we are born, what stock out of which the apple trees come from, you know, and things like that. But really, where are your roots? And it's a good question, because we were just looking up in the Britannica Almanac for 2006, and it said that the major religions in the world were Christian, Islam, and Hinduism. And quite interesting, you know. We think that the Hebrews would be quite big, and we think that many others would be quite big, but they're not. They're not. Very interesting. Now, what are the roots of these people? What are the roots? Are the roots of these people as their heritage coming out of all these countries? Or is the root of these people, are the root of you, is it something deeper than that? And I suggest it's something deeper. Mm-hmm. Our real root is to understand where we came from. Now, isn't this what philosophy and religion search out? Why are we here? Where are we going? Where did we come from? What's our purpose? You know, all those simple little questions. Well, now, where did we come from? Where did we come from? Now, you say, well, jokingly, Adam and Eve, you know. And, of course, there are some peoples on Earth, in fact, a good many billions of them, who don't believe that. And there are a good many billion people who do believe that we came out of such a birth. You know. It's illogical, unreasonable, but that isn't that what we teach in our course, that God is neither logical nor reasonable, mm-hmm. you know. So having this type of a philosophy certainly makes us think with no logic and no reason, and makes us feel very comfortable without logic and without reason. But do we really believe it? Do we really believe it? Now, if I said to you, your mother was an Asian, and you say, well, she certainly was not. No, I know my mother. She comes out of the Swiss-German origin, and she comes from a line of French people and so on. No, your mother was an Asian. My mother was not an Asian. My mother did not come from that origin. And then we go back into the generations of generations, Genghis Khan and the rest of them, and we find out that we're all Asian. And we have just sort of mutated along the way to be the various things that we have chosen to be. Now, that sort of heritage makes a mess out of a clear title to a line of beingness, you know. It doesn't make any sense. Now, are you German? Are you French? Are you Italian? Are you Hindu? Are you Genghis Khan? Are you whom, you know? And really, it doesn't make any difference. Science is in the process of revealing some very fascinating things. And they are revealing, as of the moment, that when mice are given treatment or given treatment with cells that are not harmonious with them, when, say, a human cell and an animal cell are put together, they sometimes reject each other, you know. But now they have found a way in which that doesn't happen. They have found a way in which they don't reject. Now, can any of you give me a suggestion of what might be a way in which cells put together from diverse sources do not reject one another?
Take stem cell from each other.
Isn't it wonderful to have a brilliant group like this here? That's true. Why is a stem cell, can a stem cell be used indiscriminately with any type of background people?
Because it's undifferentiated.
Undifferentiated, what does that mean?
It has no purpose yet.
No label.
It had no purpose, no label, that's right. It doesn't have a label. Now, is that true?
Yes.
If that's true, then that's the exception of the rule. And wherever you find the exception of the rule is invalid. So they say that they cannot put, say, the heart of this person with this background in the heart body of a person of this background, because they will reject it. Who says they reject it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They do not feel that they can do that. Now, can they take the heart of a pig and put it into a human being? They do. But do you announce that? Do you say that I got a pig's heart, you know? They didn't have any spare human hearts, and so I got a pig's heart. You got a pig's heart, and you've been living 50 years with that pig's heart? My gosh, everybody else is living only 5 or 10 years or less with the human hearts they get. Well, why? Because I didn't know it was a pig's heart, for one thing, and I didn't care. I just was glad to be alive and here. But the thing is, why do we have an aversion toward things that we don't understand, like a pig's heart? Well, what's the difference between a pig and a human being, besides many aspects? But basically, it's a body. It's a physical body. Now, do you know what they're doing? What they're doing is they're studying all sorts of things to try to figure out how to work with all sorts of things. We'll shut this for a minute. We have this idea that things will not work and cells are not compatible. But science is finding more and more that the things that they have said were gospel truth are not so. They have said that the brain cells die after the age of 3 and do not replace themselves. Well, now, how many years later have we come to the conclusion that 10,000 stem cells are born in the brain every single day? Now, perhaps we'll wake up to the fact that all the brain cells are stem cells, and that the only thing that keeps them from being so pure and beautiful for us is our thought. And our thought says to our brain cells that we have all these old brain cells, stem cells back there, that have been told that we're unhappy and the world is bad and things like that. And so they are bringing those things to the fore. So we need to not re-educate, but we need to just plant new ideas into our cells of our brain, and with the new ideas tell ourselves who we really are. Now, we live in a very wonderful world, and we live in a world where the Tower of Babel was a wonderful tower that the people were building because they wanted to reach God, and they wanted to climb up this tower and be closer to God. You know, everybody looks up, oh God, you know, they raise their hands in prayer, and even people who don't believe in that, they still do it too, because it is what we've been trained in all of our lives. Well, the Tower of Babel took place, and then what happened? Then some divine intervention took place. Somebody got irked, like Moses, you know, and he says, no way, you're doing this wrong. No one shall ever see God and live. This is what the Hebrews have taught in their teachings, and this is what many other religions have taught too, that nobody can ever see God. And Heinz, you saw the Wizard of Oz, didn't you? And in The Wizard of Oz, no one ever sees the Great Wizard, do they? And it's just as silly as that. It's just as silly as that. And the people believe in the Great Wizard. You see? Mm-hmm. And we believe in it. We believe that there is no power greater in this universe than God. And then we believe that God is outside of ourselves. And we believe all these things. Now, therefore, we also believe that when we have a different origin, like Chinese or Japanese or Norwegian or German or French or, you know, whatever nationality we might proclaim for ourselves, when you get right down to it, that's not so. Because I think there's more truth to the original story of Adam and Eve than we give it credit, except we don't tell the story, because the story is not Christian. The story of Adam and Eve is not Christian. Adam and Eve were having a relationship with each other, which was okay, you know, and then their kids had relationships with each other, because that's all they had to have relationships with, you know. There were no other people on the face of the earth. Where did they come from, if not from Adam and Eve, you know, according to their story? Oh, well, all of a sudden we create them to be Christian, to be harmonious with our moral beliefs, you know. And how absolutely silly. Now, I'm saying this not to encourage you to have relationships within a family. That's not my point. My point is, we create rules and laws and programs to defend our morals, to defend what we believe is so. Now, it's very silly. That's why I think the Big Bang Theory is a very charming theory, because instantly people liked it, because it's beyond their concept of understanding, and it's just lots of fun. But now, what do we do? What do we do? We give power to the thought that mixed nationalities are not harmonious, and that animals and humans cannot be joined, and things like that. Well, there's lots of little stories on television and otherwise where a person has the face of a pig and is very unhappy with it. But the thing, why are we fighting these things? Wherever we find an exception, the rule ceases to be valid. And wherever we find an exception, then the truth starts coming out. Not that that's the truth. That's merely the start. Because then, Heinz, how is creation conducted?
Thought.
Is creation conducted by a man and a woman having sex?
No.
It's one possibility.
The creation of sex is merely a creation of an idea. First, the man and woman got together, they loved each other, they wanted to have a creation that looked like themselves, and so they brought them forth. Now, they didn't have to have a sexual union to bring that forth. They were brought forth by the dozens and by the hundreds. And it's only we, in retrospect, that we create procreation as a way of bringing forth children. Mm-hmm. Now, surely that was not the way children were created. Adam and Eve surely had lots of children. Lots of children that they never even had sex over. They had children that were their thoughts. Now, we don't have a story about that, because that's a way out concept for that time. And for people at that time to write a story about that sort of a relationship, it'd blow the minds of all
humanity.
All humanity who needed to have stability. You have the opportunity to reach out and go beyond stability. You have the opportunity to reach out and go beyond all the limitations. But do you want to? And that's the big question. Do you want to? And the answer is no. you like being your limited self. You like living in your limited body. Ellen?
Yes.
You walk out the door and you say, my God, it's hot. You walk out the door, you say, what a lovely day. You walk out the door and you say, it's cold out here. You know, you walk out the door and you say, it's raining. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. And you walk out the door. You just walk out the door and there it is. Now, has it been that way all along? Yes. It was that way all along. Whatever your thought was, if you were thinking rain, you got rain. If you were thinking dry, you have dry. You say, well, I sure like to think some rain now. Well, no, you wouldn't. Because you say, I sure would like to think some rain now.
So you're doing that.
And the very thing that you say you want, you really don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't want. Put the cause in motion for yourself. For living a fantastic life. Put the cause in motion for realizing that your brain is far greater in capacity than you've ever given it credit for. And watch what happens. Just watch what happens. Because you're in charge. And if you want, thoughts are things. And they do bring forth whatever it is we think about. So let's think beautiful thoughts about ourselves and our world. Let's think beautiful thoughts about who and what we are. And if anybody ever asks us anything, instantly do it. Herb, what are you saying? If anybody ever asks us anything, why must I instantly do it? Because you created them asking you that. If people are asking you things you don't want to do, don't create them asking you those things. If you want people to ask you certain things, create them asking you these things. You can. It's up to you. What sort of world do you want? And there's nothing wrong with it. And there's nothing right with it. It's just whatever is in your heart, what you want to do. Are you ready to accomplish what you want to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
Heinz, are you holding perfect?
I'm holding brilliant.
Ellen, are you brilliant?
I'm brilliant.
Sylvie, do you love me?
Yes.
Ingeborg, you love me?
Yes, sir, I love you.
Now, why can they say that? That is true. Hey, who cannot love me?
Nobody.
Heinz, who could not love you? You have the face only a mother could love, they say. And you say, Mother, Father, God,
no?
The infinite presence.
All one.
The infinite allness. Yeah. I'll think on these things. They're kind of fun. But more than that.
They're true.
I don't like to use the word true. Because to say it's true means that there's a false. I like to say, these things are fun. And you can have any thought you want. And you can have a thought of health, of happiness, of harmony, of wealth, of peace, of joy, whatever you want. But do you have the ability to stand behind it? Good question. So, wake up and find how wonderful life is.
And smell the
roses. And, hey, say it again.
And smell the roses.
Oh, I thought you said play the role. Play the role. Play the game. Smell the rose. Smell the rose.
Smell the roses.
Smell the rose.
As the roses.
The roses.
The many beautiful roses.
My goodness sakes alive.
Yes, good.
Smell the roses.
Yes.
Say it again.
Smell the roses.
Smell the roses.
Smell the roses.
What did you like so much about Chioma?
Because she articulates.
She's easily understood.
Yes.
Are you easily understood?
I am easily understood.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. Love you. Love you. Love you.